held, and of those who've been released already. And their supporters have taken to the streets because they have clarity on this, that the person preventing this deal, not as Witkoff tells us, Hamas, just like Blinken and Biden told us, but it's Netanyahu who's preventing a deal because he wants a permanent war. You now have a former Israeli prime minister acknowledging what the International Criminal Court, the International Court of Justice, so much of the world has acknowledged for so many months, which is that Israel is committing war crimes. This is what former Prime Minister Olmert said. You have 1,500 plus Israeli academics who have written to the heads of the universities saying they must distance themselves from the war crimes that Israel is committing. In the meantime, much of the Israeli official political opposition is against Netanyahu for a variety of reasons, but is not calling out the crimes that are being committed, is not opposing his war, and Netanyahu sees his best political path as continuing the war, and he also sees that this is the fulfillment of the ideological vision of trying to permanently remove the Palestinians. Israel set up a directorate, I'll give you the name of it, it's the Directorate for the Voluntary Emigration of Gaza Residents, headed by a Colonel Yaakov Blitzstein, inside the defense ministry. Now, there's nothing voluntary about trying to get rid of people when you're starving and kettling them into ever smaller areas. None of this would be possible if so much of the Israeli media and society was not mobilized in support of this. And none of that would be possible, Amy, if Israel wasn't treated with impunity externally. Of course the US leads that. But beyond it, we're now hearing words. We're now hearing much more relevant rhetoric from Israel's Western allies. But we're not seeing the commensurate actions. We're not seeing Europeans, Canadians, others imposing an arms embargo, seizing Israeli foreign assets. We're not seeing Israel isolated from international support. As long as there is impunity, these crimes will continue. There are people who say, Amy, that you have this tension between America first and Israel first inside Trump world. The kind of cultural war of Palestine-Israel fought domestically. So what's being done with universities, with funding, with foreign students. By the way, we of course see the extremely courageous and very on point messages in some of the commencement speeches. But that domestic deployment of Israel-Palestine is a little different from the geopolitical management where the Trump administration have not gone along with Israel's position on Iran, on the continuing to strike the Houthis. They did and then they stopped. On Syria sanctions. He visited the Gulf but not Israel. So there is some cracks there. There are some divisions. Unfortunately, what you don't have is any acknowledgement of Palestinian humanity from this administration. But it is an administration talking to Hamas that conceivably could still put forward a ceasefire plan, but that will depend on much more pressure. That's not where they are today, and that's not the zeitgeist that we're seeing.
Very quickly, because we're going to a doctor in Gaza, and you could imagine these hospitals are incredibly busy. I wanted to get your comment on Israel's denial that it was involved in the killing of at least 30 Palestinians who went to get aid, who were told by quadcopters that they can go to the Gaza Humanitarian Foundation to get aid, and then were gunned down. Israel saying it wasn't them, the Israeli military, who did that. And also what happened in Boulder, this man shirtless with some kind of flamethrower burning eight Americans who were standing in vigil for Israeli hostages.
So let me touch on that first. Of course, any attack on people exerting their right to protest, to rally anywhere, certainly including in the U.S., including in Boulder, Colorado, that's a criminal act. That person should have the full force of the law brought against them. There's no question in terms of condemning what was done there. I don't see how anyone could condemn that, but think it's okay that in another part of the world, a country shoots people who are desperately trying to get some aid and starves and besieges a population of 2 million plus civilians. So that's the Boulder situation. Look, in terms of the Israeli denials, we understand that approximately 75 Palestinians have been killed in the under a week that this new authority has been functioning. I call it genocide profiteering, a private company distributing aid. Israel has denied. We've been here before, right, Amy? It's not our first rodeo. Israel immediately issues its denial, comes up with some spurious counterclaim, hopes the news cycle moves on. In the end, we find out that the denials were worth precisely nothing. One has to acknowledge that the media has been banned from there. If Israel wanted to get its story out, let the media in. And if the media took itself seriously, then it would point that out. The mainstream media, I'm not talking about Democracy Now, of course, there are citizen journalists who you can always turn to. There are people on the ground. You're about to do that. So there's no credibility to that claim. But if I may, one point on this Gaza Humanitarian Foundation, so-called. There is a mechanism to get aid to the people in Gaza. It's tried and tested. It's through the UN and other aid delivery systems that work according to humanitarian principles. Israel's claim that Hamas has been siphoning off that aid and that's how it stays in power has been repeated. It's spurious. It has not been proven. What Israel is doing here, by creating these zones, by making announcements on quadcopters, by sending people across great distances in Gaza and then shooting those people, it is a layer of cruelty that tears at the very humanity of all of us. Yet another layer of cruelty. And even if the Palestinians aren't what keeps you awake at night, we should be clear that what Israel is establishing here, in terms of undermining the